Welcome to Orlando Means Business, the season we're hearing from industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and innovators who are shaping the Orlando region's thriving business landscape. We're recording on location at the University of Central Florida, one of the nation's most innovative universities, which serves as an academic, partnership, and research leader in several fields, including modeling and simulation, optics and photonics, engineering and computer science, and more. I'm your host, Lorene Martinez, and today we're learning how a power player in Silicon Valley is doubling down in Orlando, fostering innovation and bolstering the local entrepreneurial ecosystem. Plug and Play Tech Center is known for its innovative approach to fostering startups and accelerating technological advancement. You're probably familiar with some of the companies they've helped grow and succeed, including PayPal, Dropbox, Soundwave, and Orlando-based Luminar Technologies. Those are big names, but Plug and Play has invested in more than 2,000 companies around the world and built 60-plus accelerator programs. So let's dive in and learn more with our guest today. Saeed Amidi is CEO of Plug and Play, and Dr. Alexander Cartwright is the president of the University of Central Florida. So welcome, both of you. We are so excited to be able to speak to two just incredibly smart, amazing people in one afternoon. So again, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here.
It's fabulous to be here.
Saeed, let's start with you. I've heard you say that you love creating entrepreneurs and making them successful. Why did Plug and Play choose to invest in Orlando, and why specifically focus on smart cities innovation?
We have been helping startups in Silicon Valley for over 18 years. And then we learned that the same model works well. You know, for example, at the University of Stuttgart, with the help of Mercedes and Porsche and Bosch, we opened an accelerator 7 years ago. And right now we process, or we put through the accelerator, 80 startups per year in sustainability, in electrification of the car, autonomous car, etc. So we are really excited to be here because if we can do it in Stuttgart, I think we could do it in Florida. And it's our goal to seed all of the great students that are here and faculty and little bit put a spark on them to start companies and create the next Google or the next Dropbox or more recently, Databricks or Snowflake. I really feel we need about 5 unicorns out of this university within 5 years.
You know, a lot of people, when they think of Orlando, immediately what comes to mind, of course, is our amazing theme parks and, you know, the entertainment and the leisure and hospitality that we have here. So when thinking about placing an accelerator and putting that amount of investment into a community, I think a lot of people would start thinking perhaps Miami or Tampa first. But, you know, Orlando is unique. And, you know, I think the strength of this university is such a big part of that. So can you talk about, I mean, it was very strategic to find a location that is adjacent to the university at the Central Florida Research Park, the sixth largest research park in the country. So can you talk about that decision?
You know, I believe that they say something in real estate is important, is location, location, and location. So I feel being near the university, we could have a great caliber of students. Like we have something called Startup Camp that instead of people taking the summer off, we give them $25,000 and they can work on their idea. So I do about 60, 70 startup camp startups per year. And some of the startups like N26 in Berlin is now worth $10 billion. And Valentino and Maximilian started N26 with 25,000 euro. Or there is a startup called Physical Note. they came for the summer, and the gentleman had a Harvard master acceptance letter. But we said, come for the summer, come to summer camp. And he's actually the only startup that I went when he went to New York Stock Exchange. And I was very proud of him, and I rang the bell with him. So we feel like that gentleman, I believe his name is Brian, he could have gone to Harvard and probably would have been successful. But at age 29, his company was worth $1.2 billion. And he was very fun to introduce me to his father and mother. So that is really what we hope to do here. We love to do 50 startups per year straight from this campus.
Dr. Cartwright, I want to bring you into this conversation. What motivated UCF to partner with Plug and Play?
Well, I mean, just listening to Saeed, you can realize why we're motivated to interact with Plug and Play. The history was that we had actually had the opportunity to travel to Germany with a group of people from Orange County, and we actually visited the University of Stuttgart and Arena 2036, and we happened upon Plug and Play. We'd known a little bit about them, but there we actually got to see the entire environment where they were really integrated with the university. They were committed to what's the success of the students, how do you take the technologies, how do you translate them out. And it was obvious from that interaction that they filled a void that we felt we had here in Orange County. And we knew that we have a lot of talent. We have a lot of people with great ideas. What we need is people who are skilled at how do you take those ideas and then turn them into the unicorns that Saeed is talking about. And so it was really just fortuitous that we ran into an opportunity where we found a company that aligned with what we were trying to do. And then when we started to engage further with them and realize the breadth of all the things that they worked on and the different technologies, how those things can align with what we're trying to do here in Orange County, we knew it was the right thing to do for us to actually figure out some way to bring Plug and Play to this region to continue to advance everything we're doing.
There's an element of speed, isn't there? I mean, that meeting happened less than a year ago, and here we are today. And by the way, I want to mention the fact that there isn't just one Plug and Play location in the Orlando area. There's actually two. We welcomed one last week, and we'll talk about that in a second. But can you just talk about the ability to be nimble? Because I think that's important for Plug and Play, for the startups, the companies, but also the university. And some people might think, how is the university able to work at this speed, right?
Yes, I'm very pleased that they worked at this speed. You know, to tell you a little bit of a backstory, about March last year, I looked at the map and I had 57 locations, but only four of them were in US. One of them is in Bentonville because Walmart asked us to go there. The second one is in Topeka, Kansas, is because Cargill asked us to be there for animal health. Then I said, oh my God, the U.S. is a bigger country than I thought, because all my 57 offices are like in Munich, Paris, Singapore, Tokyo. In Germany alone, I had four offices in Hamburg, Frankfurt, Stuttgart. So I went on the road to open 10 offices in US, and quite frankly, we opened the first one in Phoenix, Arizona, and it went incredibly well. And then when I reached Texas and Florida, I really realized how big and how talented the people are. And we feel with a little bit of spark from Silicon Valley, because funding is important, and there is a lot of rich people in Florida. I say they are rich, they are retired, and they are bored. So I'm going to get them excited to mentor our startups. And I always tell my startups, just don't take advice from somebody with great experience. Take a $100,000 check. So that way, we really feel we could build what we call an executive in residence with people who have done, built big companies, but then retired here. And combination of this experience, money, and entrepreneur's passion, magic happens. I also would love to tell you, other than the entrepreneurs and great education they receive here, they need the customers. So we have, Pepsi, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A. We have 83 insurance companies on our platform. Farmers, State Farm, Travelers, Allianz. So these entrepreneurs, when they dream of their idea, let's say the next Airbnb or the next Dropbox, they sometimes need the big corporations to scale their businesses. And that's what we hope to do here in Florida. Connect the entrepreneurs to funding, connect the entrepreneurs to big corporation, because this AI, and it's going to change the world. I think this AI revolution is bigger than internet, and it's bigger than mobile revolution, and we are just at the tip of it. So we are also launching 10 AI Center of Excellence, and we hope to do one on this campus.
That'll be amazing. What do you think about hearing that?
We'd love to have an AI Center of Excellence here at UCF. You know, I think your question about why were we able to move quickly, I think it's really that the culture of UCF is in many ways very similar to the culture of Plug and Play. We're an innovative university. We're truly, in terms of universities, we're like a startup, right? Our competitors have been around for more than a century. We're 60 years old. We're still young. And we still do things in a different way than other institutions. That allowed us to really take the risk, right? To recognize that we needed to move quickly. It's what we've always had to do. We've always had to do things a little differently than other institutions. And this is another example of that, is let's figure out a way to, again, add to our ecosystem so that we could translate out that technology. And we wanted a partner that we felt confident could help us to get to where we want to be. And you can hear that vision of let's move and figure out how we help our students. Let's build a system that allows them to actually take those great ideas and translate those out into new companies, but also the ability to connect them to people with resources, funds, individuals, but also companies. Because in some cases, the challenge for the startup companies is just that they've got to find that market that wants that technology. And the market might sometimes be a bigger company, right? Not directly to the consumer. And so there's this opportunity now for our entrepreneurs to really have a different experience than other places. I think it's fascinating when you look at a place like UCF, you know, you look at 70,000 students, you look at all of the things that we've been doing. And I think people forget the fact that we are that young of an institution, and that we think we're just at the beginning of our trajectory. When you look at AI, I think it matches up very well with where we are as an institution, and we believe we're uniquely positioned to move quicker than other institutions so that we could actually catch and be on that wave. So we're excited about it. I think it'll be great for us to have those types of technologies and have the ability to translate those technologies here. And by the way, we have absolutely fabulous students. World class, top in the world. And I think all we need to do is get out of their way, provide them with the support environment they need to be successful, and just let them blossom. That's what we can do with Plug and Play.
Absolutely. So, and I think it's such an attractive thing for students all over the country who are seeking, you know, a top university. Again, Orlando may not always come to mind, but we really are putting a stake in the ground and really building on something that is unique.
Yeah.
How is it that you select companies? And I think the model of Plug and Play is so interesting because companies from all over will come here, or startups, entrepreneurs will come here to literally plug into this ecosystem.
Yes. You know, we feel when you combine, like we expect to have minimum 20 startups per batch. And when you kind of bring them like a semester at the university, first you have to select them well. They have to be really smart, really educated. That's why I have so much respect now for higher level universities. But then if they think that they can make a product for a real market, they need a little push. And we call it, you have to, like when you see Larry and Sergey and from Google, they were in my building when they were three people. And I saw them grow in my building till they were 45 people. I think there is many Larry and Sergeys on this campus, but you just have to meet them. You have to little bit they build their confidence that they can build the next Google. And again, Drew and Arash from Dropbox, I met them when they were like 24 years old. They happened to be from MIT, but we invited them to a kebab party. And then we called Sequoia on Saturday. This is the best VC in the world. They saw the startup on Sunday. And on Monday, they gave them a term sheet. Wow. So Sequoia gave, I believe, $4 million to Dropbox. And Dropbox didn't raise money till they were worth $2 billion. So again, maybe we are lucky. I believe in luck. Luck is always a good thing. But this little connection of introducing Dropbox to Sequoia made their journey much faster, better, bigger.
It's that ability to kind of be the convener and bring these elements together, but you have to have the ability to see it and recognize it to do that. Dr. Cartwright, can you tell us about what are some of the research initiatives or the projects that UCF is currently undertaking in the realm of smart cities and really how this factors into the technology and the urban planning that is so much of the future as we kind of go down that road of digital twins and all this technology that and AI that is helping us kind of really model what could be the best case scenario for any kind of situation.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a range of technologies that are being developed across the university. You mentioned some of them, right? It's this concept of AI and certainly our modeling and simulation and how that ties into what you might be doing in a smart city. But the core of it is really around things like transportation. It's around streets. It's how do you integrate technologies into an urban environment to think about improving the experience of all the residents. And so it's that smart way to think about which technology could improve everything that we're doing within a city, right? So if you think about streetscapes, it's we have faculty looking at how do you ensure that streets are safe, that you can make sure that people know where what's going on in different locations. We in transportation, it's how do you think about moving cars around in a, and we know we have to think about this in Orlando, where we're growing so rapidly, we're always trying to figure out what are innovative ways to improve the transportation system. We have faculty that are world leaders in transportation, really thinking about how and where do you change roads, what could help us to move forward. We do that out of necessity because when you're in a rapidly growing area like Orlando, you actually have to think about what can we do to improve that environment. But it even goes beyond that because we have faculty that are thinking about transportation in general, not just cars, but what do we do when the world changes and it really is also about autonomous vehicles for planes, right? That we are doing vertical takeoff and we're moving people around in those types of vehicles. We need to be thinking about that in advance. How do we position this region as really being Florida's really inland port? We are really uniquely positioned that we're close to all of these ports by the sea, but then we have a world-class airport that can get anything to anywhere in the world, and we can bring anything into Florida. So we have this really interesting opportunity to think beyond just our community and what it means for a resident, but then how do we help this region to realize its potential as that inland port that Florida really could benefit from, and one that actually provides everything that's needed for the region.
I hope you're enjoying Orlando Means Business. I should mention, if you're thinking of Orlando for your business, if you're expanding or looking for a top metro to locate, go to investorlando.org. We've got industry-specific information for you, as well as data on our educated and experienced workforce, real estate options and incentives, plus more to help you get started. You can find us at investorlando.org or click the link in our show notes. And it really helps us create almost a model.
I mean,
other cities could then learn from what we're doing. And then you start to think even bigger and the impact that that work could have on the entire world.
Well, whenever we're thinking about innovations, right, one of the things we need to think about is how do you end up continuing to support those innovations? So we have to think about translation. And for me, I'm always looking at how do you optimize higher education? And what I mean is we have incredible talent. We have really smart faculty, researchers that are world-class, that, you know, come up with innovations that are just unbelievable, things you wouldn't expect. What they need is they need a comparable partner who actually has the same viewpoint as us and thinks about, okay, that's a great technology, that's a great innovation, but here's where it might be applied, right? And how do we then translate that out to other places? Right?
So you're not worried losing your faculty to startups?
We might lose some. And we actually, I will tell you this. My dream is that some of them create those unicorns, right?
Yeah.
And then remember that we're the ones who actually help them to do that.
Yeah.
That could be more beneficial to us than even some of the other things that they're doing.
You know, in fact, if I may share with you, I am... By accident, my first office was on University Avenue going to Stanford. I'm like about 100 yards from the gates of Stanford. And something that they do incredibly well is the faculty-student collaboration. And a lot of their faculty is the people who built unicorns.
Yeah.
Like I know that Eric Schmidt teaches a course, and he helped to build Google or scale Google. So the idea here is, I can use another example. Databrake started at Berkeley with four professors, and now it's worth $44 billion. So I tell my friends who are professors and PhD students, it's not bad to make money. You could write papers, you could do research, but making money is not bad either. So we just, again, and if you fail, it's still okay, because some of the best startups in the world have failed a few times, some of the best entrepreneurs. But this culture of building product that the market needs, it's very simple pivot from writing your PhD thesis. It's just you have to write your PhD thesis with the emphasis that it's going to be a product that the market wants. And I feel we could do this at scale at this university.
So I think if you listen to Syed, you realize why we match so well with Plug and Play. As a university, we talk all the time about how do you break down barriers. And in fact, you can see, you know, unleashing potential, right? It's
Absolutely.
Everywhere. We talk about unleashing potential. And we really mean that for everybody that we touch, right? Everybody that we work with, we want our faculty to unleash their potential as well as our students. And I think that there is an opportunity here where our faculty could be thinking about doing things differently than what they've done in the past. And we want to empower that. We want to have partners that help us to break down any barriers that exist between us and industry. I talk all the time about we want to make sure that we have companies on our campus. Our students are interning with companies directly on our campus. We want to make sure that that barrier is as small as possible, because I think that's gives them an experience that they wouldn't have otherwise. That opportunity to work with some outside group to then think about what could they do differently in their careers and what are their opportunities. And that's the potential we talk about, right? We have so much potential here. So many people that could do incredible things. And we need to build an environment that allows them to achieve that. And I do believe having the opportunity to take some idea that you may have and then recognize the commercial application is an incredible impact on this world. Mm-hmm. And we should be thinking about, as an innovative institution, we should be thinking about all the ways that our faculty can impact the world and that our students can impact the world. And one of them certainly is through startups.
Yeah. You know, if you take the world's economy, right now, this past year, Germany, which I have a lot of respect for their engineering and execution and incredible universities, mm-hmm. their economy shrank. The only reason US is like the leader in the world is because if you take the top 10 companies in US, it used to be oil companies and banks, but right now 7 out of the 10 are technology companies. Like Nvidia, Amazon, Apple, Google. So I believe the startups are the engine of growth. And, you know, just happened that I was there when Google was built. I was there, like Steve Jobs is actually one of my heroes. But when you meet him in a restaurant, you find out that he's very talented, but there is a lot of those talents on this campus. Mm-hmm. They just have to mm-hmm. have what I call a poster child moment. They have to meet people like Bill Gates. And then they say, oh, I can be him. Or maybe even better than him, create another Microsoft.
Yeah.
Or meet people like you. Yes. So we expect to see you walking around campus fairly often. Yes. Can we talk about another important partnership? I think, you know, UCF has been strategic with the downtown campus, but also the partnership in Osceola County with mm-hmm. NeoCity. Can mm-hmm. you talk a little bit about the plug and play presence and just the growth of the NeoCity in Osceola County? You know, it was the recipient of a Build Back Better funding, mm-hmm. $500 million, you know, mm-hmm. of federal dollars being invested to grow that semiconductor cluster. Again, people wouldn't think of Orlando, Florida for something like that. But, you know, that's been 10 plus years now in the making. It took a few people to really see the potential and just fight for it and continue to, you know, invest. But look at where we are today. Can you talk about how NeoCity caught your eye, the importance of making sure that there's a strong university that's connected with that entire cluster that's being built?
Yeah, I can start from a viewpoint of just some of the things that are happening in research. You know, as we've been involved with NeoCity since the beginning. We've changed the relationship in some ways, and I think for the better, in that it was a recognition that for NeoCity and certainly the facility to be successful, we needed to bring in companies, right, that knew how to actually run those facilities. So we were fortunate to work with Osceola County, and we recruited SkyWater, and we could think about then them running that facility. And it was the perfect timing. So I'm like Saeed, I also believe in luck. I think that we just happened to hit the right timing on this too, in that there's a recognition that we have to think about how we bring back and domesticate a lot of manufacturing, right? How can we do secure manufacturing? And we need to be thinking about having those facilities right here in this country. And so it was perfect timing, and that allowed us to then compete. And you're right, we have an NSF grant that's an engines grant around semiconductors that's $160 million mm-hmm. potentially over 10 years. We have a Build Back Better that's about $51.5 million. And those are grants that we are, as a university, our key partner in, right? We're the lead partner for those opportunities. that again is just something in the recognition for what's possible in semiconductors. And now what I think is interesting is you have an asset that can do things that's harder to do without those real facilities, and those facilities cost enough that the entrance into that market is difficult, right? But we have those facilities. We have the opportunity. Now what we really need is to build an ecosystem around it that allows us to translate those technologies out into new applications. And to me, that's where someone like Plug and Play comes in perfectly. And so I'll let Saeed explain their view on it.
I always like a little story. So my headquarter, my lucky building was on University Avenue, where we had PayPal and Google. And quite frankly, when I started, I was renting 400 square feet. And my next door neighbor was Pierluigi Zappacosta that built Logitech. So I have seen these companies grow. So then I purchased Philips Semiconductor headquarters in Sunnyvale. And it's like going back to my roots. Initially, when I bought the building, I was negotiating with Synopsys and Cadence to have the tools for design of semiconductor. And then suddenly Apple took off and apps took off and I went all software, like 98% software. But now I'm back to hardware. I am back to automotive industry, semiconductor industry. And the infrastructure that is in Neo City is great. I feel we have to have, like iMac is already there, but we have to have 10 other iMacs, bunch. Like there is incredible semiconductor engineering schools in Florida. We just need to, again, some of those engineering schools have to start building fabless semiconductor companies. Out of my 30 plus unicorns, only two of them are semiconductor. It is hard to be the next NVIDIA, but again, I think US wants the semiconductor industry to come back. And I am a little bit familiar with the CHIP Act. And about a week ago, Intel announced their big fab and built back from CHIP Act, they said. And actually next week on the 9th of April, I am with Pat, the CEO of Intel. So we kind of need to mobilize Intel, Applied Materials, some of these equipment suppliers, Cadence, Synopsys, for design software. And if we bring them to Neo City, I guarantee you magic will happen.
You know, we have a confluence of a lot of different investments happening at the same time, right? Is that the state of Florida is also investing in semiconductors. And they've invested in us as an institution. We want to be, and we believe we are, Florida's premier engineering and technology university. And with the right investments, we've been able to hire more faculty in semiconductors. And we'll continue to grow our semiconductor presence, grow the number of faculty we have, but also grow the number of students that are in those areas. And I agree with Saeed that there's an opportunity for us to then be thinking about how do we take those great ideas, we have the infrastructure, and now it's how do you then turn those into companies which can then drive our economy. And certainly for Osceola County, we look forward to them just seeing incredible benefits from having Neo City there.
Last question. If, you know, people are listening to this podcast and they say, I want to plug and play in my community, you know, how do they go about doing that? How do people get engaged? How do universities get engaged? How does this kind of happen? I know there's probably some luck involved.
No, if I can share with you, I don't think it's a zero-sum game, like one city wins, one city loses, or one university creates the best startup so the other university cannot. I feel the rising tide will rise everything and hopefully make a better life for all of us. We call it smart city because we also would love to grow the city sustainably. Mm-hmm. The electrification of the fleet on campus, you know, everything goes with smart city, the mobility, sustainable growth, etc. So I really would love, this is Florida, and you know, by itself, it would be one of the biggest economies in the world. So I would love to run 10 of our verticals here. So we have only announced two. So we have 23 more to go. Mm-hmm. So, and we feel, this is the first time I'm saying this, I now realize why some people move out of California. So I am thinking about a second headquarter, possibly here. And then really we will embrace what great economy is here, what growth engine it is here, and hopefully build the connection and bridge to create, I said it this morning, 300 startups per year in Florida, 50 out of this university per year. I always dream big, but then I come back to reality. But if you don't dream big, you cannot pursue it. And I really would love to do that in Florida.
You got to dream big, and you're in the right place. We're all about dreams here in Orlando, aren't we? Any final thoughts, Dr. Cartwright?
You know, I just want to thank Plug and Play for really partnering with us. You know, when we first approached them to understand more about what they were doing, they were incredibly receptive. They showed up immediately. They were quick to respond. And I think the opportunity for them to be here in Florida, I believe that Florida could be producing, you know, hundreds of startups per year. I really do. I think all the talent is here. We're in a different situation than many states in that the university systems, there's so much to do in this state in education and in research that we really don't see ourselves as competing, right? We all have plenty enough students. In fact, we probably, you know, we can continue to even get more if we wanted them. That's why we have partnerships, right? We work, you know, here in Orlando, we work with all of the state colleges because it's more convenient and for the students in some cases, and it really helps them to have a different path to get into UCF. That's just an example of where you're collaborating and everybody is benefiting. Mm-hmm. And so as long as we think about what's in the best interest for the economy here, how the Floridians benefit, how do we continue to drive the economic prosperity for the region, I think it makes total sense that we would be thinking about how we expand opportunities for startups. And I think the potential here is unlike any other state that I've been a part of. And so it's really wonderful to have a partner like Plug and Play come here into Orlando to help us move forward.
So just as a closing remark, last 60 days, we opened three offices in Texas, near Austin, Cedar Park. The one I like the most is in Frisco with Dallas Cowboys and Baylor Health. And we opened the AI Center of Excellence in McKinney. Mm-hmm. And then Governor Abbott wanted to see me. And after we talked for 30 minutes, he says, I want 10 in Texas. I said, no, I'm busy in Florida. But nevertheless, we really feel there is incredible opportunity in Florida with the education system. And I learned something yesterday that the tuition is $6,000. In California, you couldn't even eat lunch for $6,000.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So to teach these students what you teach them for that amount of money is a miracle to me. And now we're going to hopefully entice them to start startups and build a better, bigger future for all of us.
You know, sorry, but I do have to mention something there.
Please do.
I hadn't thought about the connection too with the tuition. I mean, I always think about our cost, but one of the things that really is different about Florida is that it costs $6,400 a year tuition. What that allows is that a large percentage of our students, over 70% of our students, graduate debt-free.
Wow.
Now, think about you're at a point in your career, you graduate, you have the opportunity to start up companies, and you don't have to debt load over your head.
Yeah.
That's the perfect ecosystem for us to really build the type of startups that you're talking about.
I'm looking forward to it. And again, a couple of the colleagues I brought with me from California in our venture business, they say, Said, when I graduated, the guy had his PhD, but so what? He had $250,000 worth of debt.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And sort of you have to get a job.
Exactly.
Because your payment starts right away.
That's my point.
Yeah. But again, I am so happy to be in Florida. And I would very much like to invite everybody to come to our what we call Selection Day Expo and soon, hopefully, a summit here.
That's fantastic. We would be happy to welcome that. Thank you so much, both of you, for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thanks for listening to Orlando Means Business, a production of the Orlando Economic Partnership and the University of Central Florida. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. The Orlando Economic Partnership is an economic and community development organization that works to advance broad-based prosperity and create a more prosperous community for all. If you're interested in Orlando for your business and what makes Orlando unbelievably real, contact us at investorlando.org.